Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. Here are seven keys, big surprise, keys to winning a winning outlook in adversity.
Because sometimes things just don't go the way you want them to.
That's exactly right. First, you choose your outlook.
There you go.
Our inward disposition will always determine our outward outlook. That's why we must be grounded in God's Word. You cannot let what's happening around you affect what's living in you. You know, I'm going to say that again, because I want to make sure you got what I just said. You cannot let what's happening around you affect what's living in you. Now, let me just stop here. I probably should have said this at the beginning. The reason for this teaching is I've heard people here in the first 17 days of this year talking about everything they're having to go through. And it was really with not either a scriptural or positive attitude, or a positive scriptural attitude. So that's why we felt impressed to talk about this today. Now, let me say that sentence again. You cannot let what's happening around you affect what's living in you. Regardless of the adversity, no matter how messy or seemingly hopeless your situation may be, your answer lies in your outlook. It's like asking if we're in a recession or a depression. If you lost your job, it's a recession. But if I lost my job, it's a depression. What should your perspective be? What does the Word of God say about it?
Colossians 3, 1 in the Message Bible says, He is your life. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective.
When we see things from God's perspective, we endure everything for the joy that's set before us. Now, frankly, you may be dealing with some adversity, a tough situations, but your outlook, your perspective on everything you're facing should never be subject to or formed by what's happening around you. Our outlook needs to be determined by the greater one who's within us, and that hopefully we spend sitting two chairs and talk with him every morning.
Yes, and letting him build us up. 1 John 4:4 says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
Second, don't let somebody else's attitude or troubles affect your outlook. Wow, my circle of friends used to include people who like to commiserate, people who wanted to hash and rehash the mess they were in, over and over and over. It's like the circle of friends and mentors doesn't include those kind of people.
Anymore.
Sure. That's right.
Anymore.
Toxic talk and attitudes are very contagious and definitely infectious. We don't need to hang around people who like to criticize, complain, and seek out fellow commiserators. You know, when you don't become a commiserator, they don't want to hang out with you as much.
That's it.
Because they're at afflictions will adversely affect your outlook and your future. It's just too easy, let me put it that way, to rehearse your hurts and relive the frustration or anger. Taking and talking yourself into thinking things are worse than they really are because we're meditating on the bad stuff.
That's right.
It's just wasted enemy.
Well, it is the enemy.
It's wasted energy on the enemy's thoughts, and they just need to be put toward making things better instead of thinking about how bad things are.
That's right.
If we spend our time talking about the negative things with negative people, then no surprise, it's only reasonable that we're going to find ourselves becoming more and more negative. The dominant thoughts in our life will draw similar thoughts to them like a magnet. And if we dwell on past hurts and failures and broken relationships and financial mistakes, then we're just liable to be doomed to repeat them. Isaiah 43:18 in the Message Bible says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. So what that's really meaning is don't commiserate about what has already happened. Let's just plan about how we're going to make things happen.
Amen. Third, you have to walk through the troubles. Here's the reality. If you've created a mess in your life, either intentionally or unintentionally, here are four things you need to do to get through it. First, you must acknowledge that you messed up. If you're alive on planet Earth, you've messed up. For some, it's more of a habit than others, but no one's exempt. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bottom line, you have sinned and messed up at one time or another.
And when Harold said, whether intentionally or not, what he meant was sometimes we'll do stuff like buy something we really wanted really badly, but we know later was not really a good idea.
Second, you need to fess up. You cannot live in denial. You know, denial spelled D-E-N-I-A-L. Somebody made it as an acronym once. Don't even know I'm lying to myself. That's denial. You heard the old saying, confession is good for the soul? That's more than an old saying. It's a spiritual truth, a scriptural directive when you're walking with God. And it's the only way to get clean. 1 John 1:9. King James. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Third, you need to get up. If you've been forgiven, you're just that, forgiven. So it's time to get up and leave the past behind. There's nothing wrong with being down and out and wrong as long as you want to get up, right and in. And getting up, it's critically important that you keep your thoughts focused on the Lord. Fourth, you need to move on. You need to move on. The Living Bible version of Exodus 14:15 says it this way. Then the Lord said to Moses, quit praying. Get the people moving. Forward. March.
And fourth, sometimes you have to step over the mess. You know, there are times in our lives when we need to let something or someone, unfortunately, go. We need to move beyond the mess we made or may have created, or maybe we're just dealing with it. But this can be a rough process if you care for somebody who, say, doesn't care for you, or someone you care about has deeply hurt you. But the truth of the matter is this. We cannot control what others do, but we can control what we do. Our trust has to be in the Lord and His Word. Psalm 119, verse 133 in the New Living Translation gives us some great advice. It says, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. We just need to keep focused on the Lord and watch our step. Proverbs 4:23, which we've quoted recently with two chairs, but definitely been quoting. Proverbs 4:23 in the Message Bible says, keep vigilant, watch over your heart. That's where life is. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust.
Amen. Fifth, you have to give yourself from time to time. You got to give yourself a spiritual pep talk. Did you ever attend a pep rally in high school or college where the sole purpose of the cheerleaders or pep squad was to motivate your team's spirit? The number one purpose of a pep rally is to get people involved, even though they'll be sitting in the bleachers during the big game. In the big event, you're not sitting in the bleachers, standing on the sidelines. My friend, our friends, you're in the game. And you need to be the most important cheerleader or pep squad member you've got. In the game of life, there'll be times when there's no one around except you and the Lord. As a result, you must become your greatest fan, your own pep squad leader. It will be your responsibility to encourage yourself, but you will have help. First, Deuteronomy 3:28. But charge Joshua and encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before the people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which they shall see. If allowed, God will strengthen, encourage, and motivate you to even greater levels of accomplishment. But in the final analysis, you must be responsible for your own encouragement. Second scripture I want to share, 1 Samuel 30:6. 1 Samuel 30:6, Classic Amplified. David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How do we encourage or give ourselves a spiritual pep talk? It's easy, really. Use the Word of God to motivate you from where you are to where God wants you to be.
Sixth, sometimes we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and do what is necessary. Sir Winston Churchill once said, "Sometimes it isn't enough to do what's required. You must do what's necessary." In our minds, I can even hear Sir Winston, you know, we were talking about that, making this bold statement, the kind of guy he was with that, you know, I was thinking about a cigar sticking out of his mouth. But anyway, the point being is some people wonder why they're never promoted on the job. But it's because they just do what's required, you know, and they never take that extra step that's going to put them above the crowd. And sometimes you just have to do what's necessary to get the job done. If we want to succeed in life, we have to do more than is just required. In Titus 3:14 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "And let our own people really learn to apply themselves to good deeds, to honest labor and honorable employment, so that they may be able to meet necessary demands whenever the occasion may require, and not be living idle and uncultivated and unfruitful lives." God wants us all to be fruitful, to do what is more than required. He wants us to go the extra mile.
Seventh, living by faith in adversity will bring you an even greater reward. When we show ourselves faithful, when we do not grow weary in well-doing, when we endure the messes of life, then God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us. Galatians 6:9, Classic Amplified. "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." Now, the New Living Translation says it this way, that we shall, quote, "reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up." Remember, when we endure the storms of life, the adversity the enemy sends our way, then God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, so we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.